All right, so what is this? This is our basket. We've been fasting this week for the teens of our area, right? And this was our little representative basket where we wrote names down of all those that God put in our heart to believe for, throw it in the basket, and this has been our like our mechanism, if you will, our physical representation of a much deeper spiritual concept that we're asking God to invade families and teenagers, young preteens, you know, high schools, junior high schools, with his presence and to provide safe, loving environments where they can grow up and know the Lord and not only know him, but fall in love with him and live in him and through him and by him and with him forever. Amen? Amen. And can we start by just praying once again over our teens? If you have more teens that you want to add and you weren't here, or maybe, you know, your list just got longer, I understand that. So I'm going to leave a stack of cards and some pens right here next to Casey, and Casey will be the welcome to your card friend. There you go. Look at that. See? You know, just make sure you do like a flying slam dunk when you're in the basket, and do it when I have my eyes shut so it's extra fun. So, Father God, Lord, we stand because we love these teenagers that are in our community, in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our schools. We love them, but we also recognize, God, you love them more than we ever possibly could. So, God, as we begin to seek you on these things, we just recognize that you want them more than we do. And we thank you, Father, for just coming in with your presence into their life, revealing your love. I thank you, God, that you will become their identity. I thank you that you will be the one who exposes and explains and shows the love of God to them. Lord, it will not be a distant understanding of the love of God. It will be my heart is burning and on fire kind of love of God. Lord, redefine broken identities. Lord, rid self-hatred. Rid desires for even self-harm, God, from the teens of our area. May it not even be in our communities, we ask. Rid people from feeling like who they are is not good enough, so they have to change. Lord, they're made after your image, and they were made with such care in the womb as you knit them together, Psalms 139. May they know that they were carefully knit together. Each piece, each chromosome, each part of them was specifically chosen by a God, a Father, who loves them immensely, God. And may they internalize and own that love, I ask. God, I just ask that you will shake off anything that's tempting them and calling them deeper into darkness. Addiction, Father. Pornography. Father, anything that's calling them deeper into darkness, we pray, cut that off from their life and give them, Lord, an understanding of who you are and who you're calling them to be. Give them dreams and things to reach for in this life, God, so that they do not feel hopeless. God, infuse the youth of this generation with hope, I pray, in Jesus' name. Surround them with good friends, Father, and if there are friends who absolutely refuse to come alongside them as healthy friends, then cut those off, I pray, and replace those with healthy relationships, Father. And God, as we stand here with one voice saying that we rebuke the attack of the enemy on their lives in the name of Jesus and on their homes. We declare that the blood of Jesus cleanses them and that the blood of Jesus sets them apart, that they are consecrated, they are claimed for the purposes of the kingdom of heaven. And their heart will not turn to the left or to the right, but will walk straight into the throne room of God and find grace. And they will know their God, and they will do exploits in his name. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen. Amen. I don't know how long we're going to do this. It's just part of this spirit-level craving to see him move. So if you sense something during the week, please reach out. If you have even a quick testimony, like a quick 30-second that you want to share as part of the adventure of where you're at today and what was the fast like for you and what's God doing through that, Mike's yours. Anybody? I had three guys named Mike. Say, All right. Well, keep that in mind, okay? Like, we want to just do this as a family, not as a religion. And so I have no idea. Good to see you, buddy. I have no idea how long this will go and what we're doing, okay? You cool with that? All right. Always send me your thoughts and advice too. If you feel like the Holy Spirit's speaking to you about this, we're not a top-down people. We're doing this collectively, so I want to hear from you. All right. Excuse me while I... All right. Tanks are empty, but they will refill momentarily. Yeah. Sue?
Signs that they're hearing, signs that the Lord's working. And it's like we're hungry. We want to know that we're doing something, whether it's modeling or speaking. But even little signs are good. This past week, I had to take my granddaughter to Hobby Lobby. She only had a certain amount of money, and she wanted two things. Well, she was so disappointed because she could only afford one. We're on our way home, and she said, I got both things. And I said, really? How'd you do that? She says, well, bless God, both things were 40% off. I had a whole party all in my head by myself. I was so thrilled to hear those words, because that's one of those little things, those little blessings that we have so many of during the day that so often go right over our heads, and we miss them. But I look for, you know, one time someone told me I did too much thanking for little things about my husband, and I said, you know, here's how I look at it. Even a small step forward is progress, and it's still better than standing still or going back. So, you know, as we pray, look for those little bitty things, because your child doesn't know it, but it reinforces your desire to get in there and just keep standing for that kid.
Yeah. Amen. 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 And just remember, fasting for and praying for does not preclude you from having to engage them. So make sure you understand that that's what you do next, and love them. Amen. Amen. So we are in the series of holiness again. I feel like it might be coming to an end and transitioning into another series about family. But, you know, today I just felt like the Lord wanted us to talk about the frustration of compromise. Now, some compromise on this earth is good, right? When two people don't always get what they want and they meet in the middle and they're stronger for it, that's good. That's compromise, right? That's not what I'm talking about. All right. I'm talking about God, who is holy, set apart, sacred, and entirely other, right? Has called us to join him in that place. We're going to reach with everything we have for the rest of our life to attain that. And compromise is when you say, yeah, but God, I have a desire of my own right now, and I know it has nothing to do with what you want. In fact, it's opposite of what you want. And so I'm just going to like reach for you, but not entirely. And I'm asking you to come reach back my way and meet me somewhere in the middle of my misery, right? That's compromise, for the record, okay? If you still don't understand, we'll talk offline. But God is pursuing his people because he wants to know us deeply, right? And he wants us to know him deeply, not superficially, right? Yes. You okay? If you don't say yes, I'll just hang there awkwardly. I'll make you wish you heard it. All right. we're going to talk about a little bit of rebellion. We're all born into that, you know what I mean? So there's no shame, right? And our country, heck, our country was born on rebellion. Thank God, right? But a little bit of too much of that in the wrong direction, and suddenly we find ourselves dull to the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit within us and that effectiveness that he is bringing into our life in the kingdom of God, right? And so we want to make sure that we're asking the Holy Spirit, checking in with our rebellion meter, right? Tap on that gauge a little bit today and see if the needle moves at all. We were chosen by him before creation to be holy, to be set apart, and solely and intimately engaged in him and him alone, right? Even as Christ is our inheritance, we are designed to be his special, glorious inheritance, right? So it's not a one-way street. He's our inheritance, but guess what? You're his, right? And he's looking forward to that day where he has you completely. We were meant to lay down idols in our hearts. Remember that a couple weeks ago? Right? And then, as Casey reminded us, you got some work to do. Right? Because that means having the work of God in us does not mean just because it's his work that we're not also surrendering to, opening our lives to, and actually calling out for more of that work in us. Right? And if there's ever a part of you, and I'm just regurgitating your service because it was that good. If there's ever a part of you that's like sits back on your lazy butt and says, you know what, he's going to do it if he wants to do it. And if he doesn't, well, here I am. This is the way I was born. Right? I'm just born angry. No. Right? If he wants to change my anger, he'll have to come and do it. You know what? He met you more than halfway when he gave you everything on the cross, right? So before I go too deep into that, I'm going to suck in the pieces of our family meeting that we didn't cover, and believe it or not, it's all going to connect, okay? So I love it when the Lord, when we were not able to do something on a certain day, we bring it back in and it works. Yeah, that's, thank God. So 2023, what are some of our spiritual growth goals as a body, as a family here, right? To be a victorious church, not just a successful church. Amen. A lot of folks measure churches based on, well, how big is it, right? How many programs do you do? How much money do you bring in? How many square feet are in your building? And most pastors will find themselves in, you know, written about in Charisma magazine for other pastors to idolize if they meet those goals, right? We call that pastor's pornography. Sorry. But we don't care about those things. We don't even want to focus on those things, okay? In 2023, what are we going to focus on? We're going to focus on how much growth, how much freedom, how much healing, how much surrender did we reach this year? How much did you invest into someone else's freedom, healing, salvation, understanding, right? It was so cool during our men's group this weekend, even though it was freezing. You know, I don't think about the freezing, really. I don't. I was moved by the conversations, right? The conversations were awesome, and the vulnerability and the openness and seeing these guys come forward and share. They led 100% of the devotional times and the prayer times. Like, I didn't have to do any of that. Not saying I wouldn't. Sure, I'll do it. But, man, it's a victory when you guys do it. And then as we went around the room and just looked at how much growth over, you know, the number of years we've been together that we've seen, or the way we're talking about another guy that we came alongside who's kind of like a common friend. And remember when he came in and what a mess he was, right? Right? I'm not betraying anything, guys. Those are the measurements we want, right? Successful church, not a, yeah. Okay, not a victorious church, not a successful church. Yeah, I almost ruined it, didn't I? I almost made you, yeah. So we are to be an environment for belonging and family, but transformation and seeing Jesus, okay? Now, if I say belonging, you could plug in whatever you want for that, right? We're belonging because we compromise. We're belonging because we make it about you. We're belonging because we don't call you out or judge you, right? We don't want judgment. But dang, I want to be called out. If I have something on my face, I need to be called out, right? And you need to be called out and challenged, which then leads to family. The guy willing to tell you where there's a vulnerability open in your life and willing to come alongside and close that for you, that's family.
Amen.
Right? And then we want transformation, because if that's not happening, right, what are we doing? Well, Mike, you know, he's like, I want transformation in you guys, and if you don't move toward that, I'm going to hit you with a 2x4, he said. And we're giggling, but you know what? I appreciate that. I appreciate that's priority, and you know what I mean? Yeah. Last one, host well the presence of God in both expressed and in your lifestyle worship. So when I say expressed, I mean like what happens in the room as we're raising our hands and there's tears and there's whatever, right? As you're laughing or cry, it doesn't matter, but you're expressing your love to the Lord. And if you're moved in your expression to the Lord in public, it's because you are building a foundation in your private life of worship for him. Okay? And it starts with your lifestyle choices, and it moves all the way through to your quiet times with him. If you can't do those things in secret, you'll never do those things in public. Right? Refinement and pruning to produce more fruit. So what I'm asking us to do is to surrender so God can have more fruit out of our lives. Not just surrender because we were made to be miserable, right? We were made to suffer and he enjoys that. No, it's not that. It's we want him to cut off stuff that isn't of him so that more fruit comes out of our life. Yay, and better quality fruit. None of this genetically modified stuff. All right. Yes, we are looking at a new building, okay? We talk about this all the time, but I just need to recall out this one thing. We're also simultaneously trying to build up life groups in various parts of our community, various towns and so on. The strategy for that is if we do fill up to the point where you just can't invite anybody else to church, I still don't want you to stop and say, I can't evangelize until these people get me a bigger building. It's not my fault. It's nobody's fault. I'll be looking at a building on Tuesday, right? We'll be doing the do. But until the Lord makes it happen, what else can we do? We can invite people into our homes. We can invite them into small, settings like in life groups. We can even, work with each other if we have to give up seats. I might be able to get smaller seats in here. My point is don't stop evangelizing because the room is tight, okay? I expect that if God is truly moving among us, we're going to fill up whatever space we provide, right? Right? So if God is there, other people want to be there. So there's no pressure here. I'm not like, there's no pressure to have to grow. And if we stay this size forever, I'm happy. You know what I mean? I'm not looking for anybody to increase my pay here. I'm not. So, I don't care. But that leads into my challenge. So 2023 challenges on the next slide, please. Number one, every family bring another person or family to the Lord and influence them toward freedom this year. So this is not legalism. You got a whole year to think about it, right? You got a whole year to work on it. And I know it's not even in your control. So if you're like a year from now, you're like, I tried and the family wouldn't come to Jesus. Okay. I wanted to know you are pursuing and you're active and you're thinking, you know what? There's someone in my life that needs more freedom, more healing, right? They need to get out of darkness and I'm gonna step in and I'm gonna hold myself personally accountable to pursue them for those things, right? It's important. Families need you, okay? Do you believe me? Say yes when God is leading. Say no if he isn't. That's a goal for this year. And some of us need to hear that because some of us will sign up for everything. Right? And then exhaust yourself and not be effective. And so don't be spread thin and focus on influencing your family. Right? At the end of the day, when you stand before the throne and God's looking at your life and if he says to you, what did you do with your family? It's like, I didn't do anything with my family. I was tired because I was always worried about your family. Well, that would make me really sad, right? So it's a goal. Whatever you say yes to something, you're saying no to everything else, and just pick your yeses very carefully, okay? And that's coming from church, where most of the time you're like, hey, sign up on the line for this and that and this and that. And by the way, we need childcare workers. But I'm serious on this point, okay? Last one, pray for wisdom and creativity to host God's presence. You know, his presence doesn't only have to happen in this place, right? Or in your homes when you're meeting with it. His presence is wherever two or three are gathered. And so we've got people, Kim and Briley, they're creating a dance team and they're planning on going out into the community and finding creative ways to bring dance into a situation and try to pull people into that moment, So think of creative ways. Like, what has God given you? What can he do through you? And how can you flow with him in bringing Jesus into other people's lives? Okay? Yeah. It is good. Thanks. That means I can move on. Thank you for saying that. All right. So so God is about to move, and the question is the church ready to catch what he's going to do? Right? had a conversation with someone, and it's a valid conversation, and it's a good one, and it was like, hey, Daryl, you know, end times might be coming, world's looking worse, right? Are you strategizing for a church that might have to disperse and go into homes? And part of my answer was yes, for sure. I mean, like, I can't say no, right? But at the other side, the other flip of that coin is, what if God pours out a revival that we've been asking for? And what if the 3 or maybe 4% of people in this area that go to church decide that now they're going to be like 8% or 9% are going to church? All the churches, you know what I mean? So the capital C church would not be ready to catch. Yeah. And I see this as kind of like one of those dad throwing his preschooler a ball. You're like, I'm going to throw it. Are you ready? Well, put your hands up. Are you ready? Right? I'm going to count to 3. Are you ready? And then you finally, you do it. It's like, poof. Right? And I just don't want that. I don't want that to be the church. The day the Father threw the ball, the thing they were praying for, they were acting like they were ready. They were nodding like they were ready. And they were about 5 seconds too slow. Right? And so, is the church ready? And if we're still dabbling around in compromise and going, living the cycle, and you know this cycle, right? From sin to condemnation to purity to laying it down to back to sin. Repeat. We're not ready, are we? And the world doesn't want to be chopped on our hamster wheel of compromise. The world's in darkness, and they need to know there's light. And when Christians don't step into the light and they live in the darkness as if they like that, or maybe they hate that about themselves, and so there's a little bit of that, oh, I can't stand myself that I do this every time. What a hypocrite I am. But I do it anyways, right? If you live in that, like, what do we have to offer that the world needs, right? So are we ready to catch, or are we still going to just hold out for compromise because that's the only thing we know? This is a shouting message. Hallelujah. All right. Isaiah 65, this was written to the people of God, okay? This was not written to the world, not to a bunch of sinners. It was the people of God. And he said, I was ready to respond, but no one asked for help. I was ready to be found, but no one was looking for me. He said, here I am, to a nation that did not call on my name. All day long, I opened my arms to a rebellious people. But they follow their own evil paths and their own crooked schemes. And all day long, they insult me to my face by worshiping idols in their sacred, and I might even put the word secret, gardens. Right? Selah, think about that. Now, this is not condemnation, guys. I hope that what we are pulling out of the ground is just the stuff we don't want in the ground, okay? If we pull it up, we can hand it. Here you are, God. It's ugly. Do you sure you want this? Dang straight, he wants it. Written to a holy nation, a nation set apart to be only his and his alone, a nation built on godliness and holiness. This is him talking to them, right? That's kind of intimidating. If we were to say, hey, here's the message to the capital C church. I was ready to be found, but you weren't looking. I was ready to help you, but you weren't asking. I had my arms all day, you know, 2020, 2021, 2022. My arms were up, 2023, right? Such love from God, and yet he's not hurt. He's not wounded like we are. Like, hold my arms out for more than 2 seconds to my wife, and if she doesn't just come falling into my arms, and I get all hurt and want to go off to myself, and she loves me not. Right? You know what I'm talking about? Just me? Am I the only insecure guy here? No. Okay. Okay. Ooh, I was getting insecure about that fact. Yeah, well, there you go. So Jesus is not insecure, and he's holding out his arms like all day long. Come on, right? And he's calling us like a father. You can do it. Walk to me. Come on, right? It doesn't have to be pretty. He's just happy to see you heading in that direction, the direction toward him, right? And yet humanity will ever try to fill itself with things that has no power to satisfy and no interest in doing it. Right? At best, it's junk food, but more realistically, it's killing us. Yeah? And I hear the Lord is saying, I'm ready to respond. I'm ready to help. I'm ready to be found. So who needs to hear him? Who needs to receive from him? Who needs to know him more closely? The ones who are calling, the ones who are walking toward him are the ones who are going to change the story and the outcome of this picture. Make sense? It's really not that difficult. I know that there's a part of us that gets intimidated, like, oh, I feel so stuck, and my problem is so ominous, and this thing that keeps me sucked in, I can't escape. It's like a black hole. It just sucks me in, and, I mean, he's like, I want to help. You got to call it out, though. Well, I can't call it out. It's too shameful. Well, now you're stuck on the hamster wheel once again, right? You guys good with this? All right, we have to step into the light. We have to let the roaches run. It's true.
Put out a few roach motels to catch them.
I love this about the Lord. As I see him here and I hear his heart saying, I'm calling and you're not listening and you're insulting to me, to my face, I still hear him saying, but I can't help myself. You're worth it. I'm still holding my arms out, you know? Thank God for that. Yeah. He's not disinterested, man. He's fully engaged in this process. In Luke 8, 9 through 11, and this is that point I was making about rebellion, making our heart dull to the things of God, Jesus shared his parable. And you know the parable of the sower? Right, put the little seeds in the ground and different things happened. And the disciples asked him what the parables meant. And he replied, you are permitted to understand the secrets of the kingdom of God. But I use parables to teach the others so that the scriptures might be fulfilled. And when I say this, we're talking about the godly leaders of the synagogues and the local church of that day, if you will, right? So we're not just talking about anybody. We're talking about everybody. When they look, they won't really see. And when they hear, they won't understand. This is the meaning of the parable. The seed is God's word. And he goes on to just explain what all of that stuff means in his scripture, right? Well, that's kind of weird. Like, why would Jesus want to come and talk to a bunch of people that aren't interested and make them not understand and make them not hear? Doesn't it feel like that's kind of cruel? It's kind of like pushing someone back and saying, come here, what's wrong with you? Right? Where did that scripture come from? When they look, they won't really see. When they hear, they won't understand. I bet I'm going to tell you, do you? So it comes from Isaiah 6, the original reference. Isaiah's generation, people of God are, you know, worshiping the idols, and out of that came witchcraft. Out of that also came certain acts that were despicable, where there was murder, there was rape, there was slavery of all kinds, there was taking advantage of widows, right? Women who couldn't help themselves, taking their stuff, kicking them out of their homes, right? I mean, there was like painful stuff happening throughout the nation as a result of just putting up their hand and saying, I'll get to you later, God. You know what I mean? It's the gateway drug. Compromise. Right? I heard the Lord asking, whom should I send as a messenger to this people? Who will go for us? I said, here I am, send me. And he said, yes, go and say to this people, listen carefully, but do not understand. Watch closely, but learn nothing. Harden the hearts of these people. Plug their ears, shut their eyes. That way they will not see with their ears, nor hear with their, see with their eyes, hear with their ears, nor understand with their hearts and turn to me for healing. And then I said, Lord, how long is this going to go on? And he replied, until their towns are empty and their houses are deserted and the whole country is a wasteland. So what he was getting at, right, if we could break it down, there was compromise that was pushing God away consistently to the point where he said, now I need to send people to prophetically engage, and yet they're so dull in their heart and cut off, they're never going to grasp it anyways, but I'm not going to stop trying. I'll send the Isaiahs, I'll send the Jeremiahs, the Zechariahs, I'll send them all. I already know at the end, because I see all things, God is saying, they're not going to turn to me, but I'll never stop reaching, right? Well, how long is it going to happen? Until it wipes out everything that they own and love. That's not a curse. That's just an effect. Does that make sense? This is such a joyous occasion. I know I've came to like encourage you and pump you up. But there are two things that I'm seeing here. Houses are deserted. That means families are broken. And the whole country's a wasteland. That means America. Sorry. I'm going to get taken off YouTube. Oh, by the way, I am looking for an alternative to YouTube. That's a great segue. I got spanked because of someone came in September and said words I can't even tell you what those words are. Because if I do, the AI is going to hear me and going to shut us off. But YouTube said that we can't say those words again. They're going to take us down and stop us from being able to upload video. So I'm actively moving to another source right now, more of a free speech engine. I will be asking you once all the migration happens, and that migration is going to take a few weeks. But I'll ask you to move and like and subscribe and join that, so that if we do go down over here, at least we won't be down over here, okay? But if we do go down over here before I can get things migrated, now you know why. One of the a guest speaker came and said words that YouTube does not allow. I'm going to say it. If I say it, it had to do. Yes, I can. I can. All right.
They can turn the volume down, right?
Yeah. Oh, these people want to know give me the bad. It wasn't even my words, by the way,
But they were true.
That, just think of anything that you would consider getting shut down as disinformation, and that was probably part of it. All right, are we all back on church topic? I feel like people are like looking at each other.
So much more interested in that.
I'll tell you later. You can always call me offline, text me, whatever. I don't care. I'm an open book, just not on the cameras. All right. This leads me to two questions, right? So if the Lord is pursuing his people, and if he's then allowing them to be hardened, if he's still sending his messengers but being ignored, and he knows it's going to keep going on, is it possible to find yourself in that cycle and to actually have what I'm going to just refer to for my own word, but a wrong relationship with the Lord? Like, he puts us in right standing. Can we put ourselves in wrong standing? It's important that you know your opinion on that. The Calvinists are like, oh my gosh, dang it. Right? And I'm not here to try to make my thing fit your theology, and I'm not asking you to break your theology to fit what I'm about to say. All I want to know is, in your mind and in your heart, is it possible for there to be a drift in the relationship? And if there is, we just don't want to go anywhere near that line. In fact, we want to go so far the other direction, we don't even have to think about that line. Amen. Right? Because if you think too hard on something, you usually get that thing. So Psalms 24, verses 3 to 6, this is said by a bunch of people that are going to Jerusalem to visit the Lord, okay? So these are people who desire to be with him, all right? They say, who may climb the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Only those whose hands and hearts are pure, who do not worship idols and never tell lies. They will receive the Lord's blessing and have a right relationship with God, their Savior. Does that mean I can have a wrong relationship with him? Well, what other kind of relationship is there if it's not right? What is it? Not right? Anti-right? Some of you are like left. So let's just say it this way. Those in right relationship with God, their Savior, may seek you, worship in your presence, right? And so if you're seeking, if there's a part of your life that feels empty and you're like, I don't feel like I'm seeking him as I worship, I don't feel I'm connected, I'm just going to say, go check your oil, okay? Dip the dipstick in and check it out and see, does it need to be changed? Are you low, Is there some dirt in there? We want to receive blessing and have right relationship. We want to be in intimacy. And the thing that breaks that is dirty hands, dirty heart, right? This is not earning him his pleasure. This is just cleaning yourself up. I mean, heck, if a royal dignitary is going to visit your house, are you going to at least take a shower and clean your house a little bit?
Yes.
Right? A little bit? Vacuum too? Whoa, you're good. That's extreme. But you get what I'm saying. Like, as we are approaching the King of heaven and earth, there's just a desire within us to clean the house. Amen. He deserves it. It will show that to a royal dignitary who's just a dude or a dudette. We should do that for Jesus, right? Okay. There's this other thing that I see in Hebrews 12, 14 to 15, and it says, and actually you stole this, and so I have to now regurgitate it. Work at living in peace with everyone. And some people, it's a lot of work. Sometimes it's hard work. Work at living a holy life. For those who are not holy will not see the Lord. Raise your hand if you want to see the Lord. I do, right? I want to be so close to him that he can invade my eyes with just who he is any moment with no obstruction and no need to go back to that oh, you know, I screwed up yesterday. I just screwed up 5 minutes ago. Oh, my God, right? It's like, I'm not here to talk about what you did. I want to just show you my love, right? And so the clean kind of I want to see the Lord is because we're not walking in the guilt, the consistent I'm trash guilt, right? Are you good with this? Okay. Look after each other so that none of you fails to receive the grace of God. That means if we want to see the Lord, we want others to see the Lord. You know what I mean? Like, I want you to see the Lord. And Jim, I want you to see the Lord. And so we have to look after each other. And, like, really, this is the challenge, you, or I'm going to hit you with a 2x4. Because ultimately, I want you to see the Lord. When you get alone with him, I want you to encounter the good, like, substance of, like, it's like being fed when you're hungry. Connection to heaven when he walks in, right? Yep. And if you want that and I want that, then let's be holy together and let's really push each other in those areas where, right? Not judgmental people. Let's not be judgmental. If you come to talk to someone else about being better, it's not because you solved it and you know how to help them. It's because you desire to see the Lord and you desire them to see him too, right? And if you don't desire the best for them when you speak to them, then keep your mouth shut. And don't talk to someone else about it. Let's work at, if I can borrow those words, setting an environment where we collectively see the Lord. Rally around Jesus. See you there. Revelations 3. Are you good with this? Oh, I went way too long, didn't I? Ooh. The holiness series just got longer. That's your shocked face. Oh, yeah, there's no reputation here. And I still want to get back to that part that Nikki saw like several weeks ago, and I've been just like pushing it down the notes because she saw something that was validly on the notes and ready to be talked about, but I keep blowing it with my pontification. Sorry about that. Lord, I apologize. Thanks. Hey, but you know, I'll take a free sermon that's already written because I have a job. All right, I'm being stupid here. Some of the things that we want to pray for, let's just jump to the end, if you don't mind. And man, I understand. You guys have heard so much about holiness lately. You're already holy. You're done with all this stuff, and I'm talking to the wrong people. But, just in case you're having a case of the Mondays tomorrow, I wanna really just so focus on Jesus, cleanse me of compromise and make my eyes and heart sensitive to you. The more we practice the insensitivity toward him, the better we get at it. The more we practice sensitivity toward him, the better we get at it. Right? Cool. Number two, I lay down the things I have held back in rebellion. I love being completely open to you. Sometimes I don't just don't do it, right? But I love it when I am. And so I'm asking Father to bring me back to closeness. Bring me back to the place where my rebellion goes to sleep and I just say, you can have it all. It's quiet. I wonder if anybody will pray. Number three, convict me of the things I treasure that hold back your best from me. My cravings are not satisfied in my own way. Do we have cravings that we're reaching for? We're trying to scratch an itch with the wrong scratcher, right? And the ability to actually say out loud, Holy Spirit, you're the Spirit of conviction, and I invite you to convict me and move me toward freedom and holiness, ultimately joy and filling the empty places. It's okay if you feel like you've done that before, because I have too. And there are times, are you familiar with on that? Can I throw that first slide up real quick? This is important, then we'll pray. The very first title slide. The picture is like a title slide, picture of metal. All right, so this is a furnace that is refining metal, okay? And inside that is gold that is being purified so that it's more and more valuable, more and more pure, right? And as you surrender to conviction, all the junk that's in that metal will rise to the surface so that the guy who's refining it can scrape it off and get rid of it, right? But if he leaves it on the fire for longer, guess what? Another round of stuff will rise that never would have had the opportunity to rise had you not dealt with the first layer. So if you're in the place where you're like, I've done this before, 2020, I got clean, I got delivered, I got, right? 2020 was my year. Great. Well, 2023 is here and the second layer is about to rise. And the Lord's going to scrape and it's going to be beautiful. And you're going to love the purity as your gold goes from, you know, 20 carat to 2 carat, right? Because you surrendered to a process and made yourself more valuable and useful to him, right? More beautiful, more desirable. So we can, back to that last slide with all the prayer points. I just want you to see it. Is there anybody that just felt like this Holy Spirit urge to open the prayer? Or do I got to do all the hard stuff? Oh, nice. That's why we have a kneel. Thanks, man.
Good word.
Thank you.
Yeah, Lord, thank you, Jesus. You're so committed to our holiness, our completeness, our maturity. Everything. You're more committed than we are, and I'm so glad. And Lord, thank you that you discipline us because you love us, not because you're trying to exasperate us, but because you want us to be more valuable to you in your service. Lord, that's our deep heart's desire, Lord. Help us. Lord, you know each one of us is at different phases. Some of us are some of us are exasperated by the process. Some of us are joyfully saying, yes, Lord. And wherever we are, I pray just a fresh yes in our hearts to you, your purposes. Give us grace to hate sin like you do. We need you, Jesus. We just need you to clean us and help us to be more cooperative, more quickly in the process, more of the time. Have mercy on us, Lord. And like Daryl was preaching in the last couple of weeks, because, Lord, we want to be useful to your purposes on the earth. Lord, our country and this world need to see a church alive in Jesus, yes. Pure in heart, and we're all trying to help each other get there, and we just need you, Lord. So come, Lord, we pray.
Yes. Yes, thank you. Anybody else? You know, I'm moving around by that rumble.
And Father, we thank you for your love that is consistent toward us. And God, we thank you that we are yours, fully purchased. We are yours. You put your life in us. And Lord, right now, we declare humbly in our hearts that is our identity. And Father, for those of us who feel like we're living two different lives, sometimes we're so good and so holy and so committed, and other times we slide and we can't understand why there is that division. Father, you're the one who's pulling us towards you. We just lay down that old self right now. We lay that down in front of you. That is the self who compromises. That is the self who wanders. That is the self who is apathetic and doesn't care and rebels. Lord, we lay that down in front of you today. Take that old self. Remind us that we're made new each and every day, each and every moment, and that our true self is the one who is drawn towards you. In Jesus' name.
Yeah, in Jesus' name, thank you. Anybody else?
Heavenly Father, we just ask for your continued strength and perseverance as we go ahead with this message. Let us sit in your silence. Let us sit in your presence and resonate on how it speaks to each and every one of us. We all have different situations, and you're the only one that knows that. We ask, God, to speak those things out where we need to break those bonds and break those bad habits and break those thought patterns that aren't from you, that move us further away from you, not closer to you, God. You hear our heart. You know where we want to be, and we just ask, God, that you are there through that. When we have those temptations, when we have those situations where we feel like we're going to be compromised, that you give us the strength to stop in our tracks and pivot and move forward. God, thank you for just the word that you've inspired us all to have through the message of being closer to holiness, knowing that you truly are the only holiest one of all. You are perfect. We'll never be perfect, God, but we strive to get there. We love you so much. We love that you're in this congregation, that you're speaking to us. You're bringing us together as a family. You're bringing our families to be stronger. God, we just pray that you make these connections, that you hold us accountable, and that we hold us accountable. We hold each other accountable in brotherly love. God, thank you for just who you are, the image of who you are and the image that we see in you, and that we just ask, God, that we work closer to get that every day. It's a process. It doesn't happen overnight. We know that. We are here. We listen to you. We hear you. And we know it's going to be hard work, but we just ask, God, for strength through that. Stand with us in the darkness and know that you are the light. You are the Alpha. You are the Omega. You are. God, thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God.
Lord, you are so holy. You are a God that provides, a God that heals, a God that loves. We pray for an opening of our eyes and a tuning of our ears, that we would tear off any blinders we put up that puts any kind of resistance to a relationship with you or a pathway to you. Lord, I pray that those things would just shed off and be cut away. And Lord, I pray that you would put people into our lives that would walk alongside us as brothers and sisters, that we could encourage each other to strive for holiness, strive for excellence, to be in communion with you, to lift each other up, Father. We thank you. We thank you for the people in this church. Thank you for Daryl. Thank you for your son, Jesus. Lord, cleanse us by Jesus' blood. We are cleansed and purified. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, God. Thank you.
You know, as we're praying for our teens, I can't help but think about what it's like to be the parent of a teenager. You see them going down paths that you know are going to be painful, and you're praying for them to step out of that, to just listen to what you're saying and avoid the pain. And I see you doing the same thing with us, Lord. You've warned us. You give us this book, this manual to follow. You give us instructions on how to live our lives so that we don't experience that pain. And you hold your arms out day after day after day, and we mock you. We don't listen. I don't know why you still love us, but you do, and you keep your arms open when we don't deserve it. You sent your son to the cross to die for us, and we don't deserve it. Give us the ability to recognize when we're off the path, that we're that rebellious teenager, Give us the ability to listen to your words, to read your instruction manual on how to live our lives so we don't burn our hands on the stove. So we don't experience that pain. We don't have to learn by that pain. But I know that you will be there even if we do. And you will love us through it anyway. I'm amazed at your patience. As a parent, there are days you just want to throw up your hands and walk away. And some of us do. But you never do. You're always there. You're always patient with us. And you will always be there with your arms open, even when we fall and fail. Thank you for that.
We just say, we declare that your goodness is worth striving for, and every part of you that challenges our compromise is worth it to us. It pays off. Lord, we want to see you. We want to encounter you. We want to live in the reality of heaven. It's worth it, God. I ask that the acts of our lifestyle will sing just as loudly as the words of our praise, so that our life is congruent in every way with you. Yeah, thanks for the grace to walk it out, because we're not just hopeless. We have grace, and that's everything we need. Spirit of God, we lean into you and depend on you, and we love you while we're doing it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, everybody. Make sure you grab your children, and then don't forget, when you walk out of the doors, you are the church. Amen.